evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday, March 8, 2017. The head of the UN High Commissioner on Human Rights says human rights around the world are under attack.
Grave human rights violations and abuses by security forces and the Imbonerakure militia continue to be reported, including increasing allegations of enforced disappearances, torture, and mass arbitrary arrests.
And today is International Women's Day. This year's theme is Be Bold for Change.
The culture that women's voice cannot be heard in the community. But let me tell you today, especially in my clan, women are sitting in the round table with men to discuss the marriage of one of our girls in the family.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Zayed Raad Al Hussein, warns the entire human rights system is under attack, stalked by fears of terrorism and xenophobic rhetoric by populist politicians. The High Commissioner presented his annual report on the state of human rights around the world to the UN Human Rights Council. Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
Human Rights Chief Zayed Raad Al Hussein highlighted recent human rights developments in more than 40 countries. Among this group, he notes only four countries, Gambia, Uzbekistan, Tunisia, and Greece, have made some improvements in human rights. Otherwise, his appraisal of the human rights situation globally is uniformly bleak. For example, he deplores the violence and destruction in South Sudan, where famine is spreading. He accuses the warring parties of repeatedly engaging in alleged war crimes, including killings, rape, and sexual violence, disappearances, and pillage. He says he's very concerned about the situation in Burundi, where the democratic space now has been virtually extinguished.
Grave human rights violations and abuses by security forces and the Imbonerakure militia continue to be reported, including increasing allegations of enforced disappearances, torture, and mass arbitrary arrests.
Turning to the Middle East, he condemns the bombs and other shocking terrorist attacks against civilians in Turkey, but expresses concern about government measures under the state of emergency, which appear to target criticism, not terrorism.
The fact that tens of thousands of people have been dismissed, arrested, detained, or prosecuted following the attempted coup, including numerous democratically elected representatives, judges, and journalists, raises serious alarm about due process guarantees being met.
The High Commissioner also finds fault with several of the world's superpowers. He criticizes China for detaining lawyers and activists who fight for the rights of others. He deplores Russia's curbs on political dissent, freedom of expression, and religion. In the United States, he expresses concern about President Trump's vilification of entire groups, such as Mexicans and Muslims. He warns the collective expulsions and deportations of immigrants could be breach of international law if undertaken without due process guarantees. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Local civil society organizations in South Sudan trying to prevent more famine and outbreak of disease say their work is being curtailed by a 2016 restrictive laws on operations of non-governmental organizations in South Sudan. Nabil Biagio has that story for VOA from Juba.
The group Humanity United South Sudan organized a panel discussion yesterday in Juba for humanitarian and civil society organizations who face major challenges trying to reach people in need. Bongiri Peter Lado is the director of Humanity South Sudan. He says after the conflict that broke out in late 2013 and flared up again in July last year, humanitarian groups have been needed more than ever before.
Civil society organizations play a very, very crucial part in this time of conflict where there are many, many tasks that are supposed to be done to ensure that peace goes well.
Lado says the most pressing humanitarian need in the country is addressing the famine recently declared in two counties of South Sudan. Lado says the 2016 law restricting the work of local organizations like Humanity South Sudan to one state only renders them powerless in providing assistance to other needy communities, such as those affected by hunger in the former Unity State. Lado says the law also makes it impossible to assist people affected by violence and displacement in neighboring Yei River State.
For instance, there was a violence that occurred in Lanya, and the people are going 3 months without food, and we take the risk to highlight about the issue. You are only registered in Juba, you cannot operate in Lanya. You see, Lanya is a Yei River State. When I talk on behalf of Yei River State, the government will ask you why you are not registered in Yei River State.
NGOs also complain about the red tape and expensive registration fees created under the new law. Obale Isaac, director of Youth Vision South Sudan, agrees that the current crisis means all civil society organizations should be given unfettered access to help wherever they can.
The measles is already one of the things that the World Health Organization have already suspected in the Republic of South Sudan. There is also incident of drought that the USAID also have suspected that in the maybe the coming 2 or 1 month, it will also affect South Sudan. So those ones we need that we work in hand with the national and maybe the partner organization to bring us on board that we can reach those communities.
Florence Ide Noka, chairperson of Liwolo Development Association, says the sprawling humanitarian needs in South Sudan are compounded by the fact that donors do not feel safe in the country, so they're leaving.
People are scattered now, and but there is movement of people around. They are going, even the donors are going, because the situation is not good. We cannot gain funds.
Noka says in order to address the critical humanitarian needs of its people, the government must first make peace and give local and international aid workers unhindered access to relieve the suffering of the South Sudanese. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Juba.
Some residents of Torit say up to 8 SPLA soldiers were killed and 5 others wounded when an unidentified gunman staged an attack along the Torit Kapoita Road yesterday. The incident happened about 50 kilometers from Torit town. SPLA spokesman and the governor of Imatong State confirmed a commander was killed in the attack but dispute the number of soldiers killed. Dimo Silva Aurelio has this report for VOA from Juba.
Local residents of Oming area in Torit East County say suspected rebels raided a police station last weekend, stealing several rifles. On Tuesday, they say government soldiers were deployed to the area to track down the armed men when they fell into an ambush at Okumamavi. Imatong State Governor Tobiolo Alberio Oromo denies soldiers were sent to the area to conduct counter-insurgency operations. He says rebels killed SPLA commander Colonel James War while he was headed to his base in Kapoita.
He was shot. His bodyguards were also wounded. The rescue team went from Keala to rescue him. So he was brought to Keala Center, whereby from Keala he was brought to Torit. On his way to Torit Civil Hospital, he passed away. The bodyguards has been sent to Juba for medical attention. So this is what had happened, and this is how the officer lost his life on the hands of rebels.
Governor Oromo says the bodies of the 2 dead soldiers were flown to Juba for burial yesterday. SPLA spokesman Brigadier General Lul Roy Kwong says a total of 2 SPLA soldiers, including Commander War, were killed in the attack.
Colonel James War was killed at Kiala Hills between Torit and Kapoita. That's the major road linking the 2 state capitals. It all started on the 6th of this month. Some armed elements had blocked the road, and there was need for the road to be cleared of these armed elements before they were harassing civilians on the road. So he was actually leading his troops, and he fell in an ambush.
Oming villagers of Torit East County accused SPLA soldiers of going on a rampage harassing civilians and burning down houses after a government soldier was killed yesterday. Kwang denies the accusations.
No, I have no information indicating that the SPLA soldiers went on rampage. But of course, everything is subject to negative rumors being fed around by enemy parties. SPLA is carrying out surgical operations to ensure that the civilians are not affected. We are only targeting those who are responsible for causing insecurity on the road, including those who might be responsible for his death. We are not directing our firepower on civilians, no. We are dealing with these culprits who are responsible for all insecurity.
Governor Oromo says an armed group blocked humanitarian aid from reaching villagers affected by the ongoing conflict. For the past 5 days, the governor says gunmen have been attacking commuters along the Torit Kapweta Road. Now, Oromo says Torit is safe.
Within Torit town, the situation is normal, the security is normal. People are going with their businesses because the thing did not happen inside Torit. It happened in Torit East County.
But Governor Oromo admits the road between Torit and Kapweta may still not be safe for travelers. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Torit.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America on this International Women's Day. We are taking a look at challenges facing female diplomats in South Sudan. Find out when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what are you looking forward to the most in the future?
I want to basically get money and a job, stable job, in the future. That's what I'm looking forward for. And basically money and a house, and just I want to be better off than I am right now.
I should maybe have a good job where I can be able to feed myself, my relative, and so forth.
To be at peace in future, such that everybody can mind on his own business. They can just settle their families and also look about their personal hygiene and health.
My dream, which is to work with UN, yeah, it's been always my dream. And I know I will one day.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at www.voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus. On International Women's Day, UN agencies are calling for greater efforts to ensure gender equality and end hunger and poverty. VOA's Joe DiCapo reports from Washington.
The Food and Agriculture Organization, the World Food Program, the International Fund for Agricultural Development, and UN Women say that millions of rural women are key agents of change in building a world without hunger. José Graziano da Silva is Director General of the FAO.
Women play an important role in agriculture and in food systems, not just as farmers, but also as processors, traders, and managers.
The UN agencies say women make up as much as 60% of the agricultural workforce in parts of Africa and Asia. Nevertheless, they say that women do significantly more unpaid work than men, such as caring for families and communities. Graziano da Silva says women face major constraints in rural labor markets.
Women are more likely to be in poorly paid jobs without legal and social protection. This limits women's capacity to advance their skills, earn incomes, and access to employment opportunities.
Other obstacles include gender-based social norms, laws, and practices that can limit their access to land and education. The FAO chief says the UN agencies have joined forces to develop programs supporting rural women.
This program aims to capacitate rural women to better manage and expand their businesses. This also includes the adoption of technologies and practices to reduce women's work burden. I'm convinced that the future of global food security depends on unleashing their potential.
World Food Program Director Etherin Cousins says that empowering women economically is one of the key steps to realizing gender equality and achieving zero hunger. Adding to that is IFAD President Kanyayo Nwanze, who says poverty will never be overcome without empowering rural women. Joe DiCapua, VOA News, Washington.
And today, on this International Women's Day, South Sudanese women say they are ready to assume more leadership positions in the country and work for peace to prevail. The women say men must view them as equal partners in the search for peace. Nabil Biagio has more for VOA from Juba.
Women, oye!
Hundreds of women turn up at the Nyakoren Cultural Center in Juba to mark International Women's Day, as did Vice President James Wani Iga and several ministers. Awud Deng Achwil, South Sudan's Minister of Gender, Child and Social Welfare, says the biggest change South Sudan needs is the realization of peace. Wildlife and Tourism Minister Jema Nunu Kumba, who is also the SPLM ruling party's acting secretary general, says women are agents of change.
We as women can stand up to say we want change from war, from insecurity, from hunger to peace and prosperity.
Kumba says South Sudanese women and girls have endured an enormous amount of abuse and violence during the country's conflict, even though there are many laws on the books that are supposed to protect women against rape and other criminal activity.
We will not tolerate any injustice against the women. Our constitution is
very powerful. Kumba says the government's laws must be enforced and abusers must be punished. Education Minister Deng Deng Hok says his ministry is trying to ensure that most girls can access education. He says empowering women is key to the country's development. 33-year-old Palma Charles is a civil servant who says it's high time that South Sudanese women shake off the cultural baggage that holds them down, preventing them from being elected or appointed to political positions of power.
We had been carrying the culture that women voice cannot be heard in the community, only men. But let me tell you today, especially in my clan, women are sitting in the round table with men to discuss the marriage of one of our girls in the family. So I'm happy there is a development in my clan, and I'm also encouraging other clans to do the same so that we can put everything down. And one day we are wishing that we should have a president who is a woman.
Suzanne Patricio is a primary school teacher in Juba who says women must be bold in asserting themselves in their social roles. She adds that men will have to get used to being advised and even corrected by the women in their lives.
When suppose my husband is going for war or doing something bad, Abu Yaltai, you are the father of my children. Don't do this, don't do that. Because of the children, we have to keep in peace. You can advise your husband. It is difficult for men to get advice from women. But when more women are doing this, surely that is where they are the keys.
United Nations organizations, including UN Women, the UN Population Fund, and the Swedish government sponsored today's event, organized by the Ministry of Gender, Child and Social Welfare. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Juba.
A former deputy head of mission of the Embassy of the Republic of South Sudan to the United Arab Emirates, Cecilia Deng, tells INBR on this International Women's Day that education is key to women's empowerment in South Sudan.
For the South Sudanese women, I think they deserve so much. From those that are struggling trying to raise their kids in the camps to those that are struggling trying to just make a living for their kids in the streets in South Sudan, wherever they are, and for those that are struggling to raise their children in the West, anywhere they are. It's a lot. South Sudanese women are dealing with a lot, and there's so many of them in so many classes. And for those who are actually working, it's also a struggle trying to remain relevant and trying to be listened to and taken seriously.
We hear stories of women's struggle in almost every sector of society. What can be done to change that?
What we could do as women, let's start there, is to continue helping each other and continue not stopping when we've been given a position or a title and feel like our struggle is over. For the government itself or for us as a society, they need to look into more of like empowering women and more of women empowerment groups and also see how to put some funding into that. But it will require the women to spearhead it.
How much does culture have to play into this? I mean, the roles that you were given in the office as a degree holder, as a master's degree holder, were the same roles that traditionally a woman would have in a household. So how much does culture have to play into this issue?
It's a lot because it's just not me. I remember even I would see most of the women holding positions doing the same thing. Like when you go to a place and you are the only woman there, then you are the one that expected to pick up that role of what a woman would do, you know? But you're not looked at as somebody who is actually in the standards with them or even higher standards than they are. So culturally, I think our mothers have always taught us to just help out, you know, be the woman, be that kind, you know, when guests come, you must serve them kind of thing. So
Just based on your presence in the office, based on your work, did you see a shift in the way that the men treated you at all?
Yes, I have. I have seen a shift. And I think I've seen it mostly after I had my kids. Like, they look at me differently now. It's like they would respect more. And I remember those that would expect me to do things for them, as in womanly things, the kitchen-based things, don't ask me anymore. The only thoughts in my mind is that working in South Sudan itself, the best thing I've seen, and maybe that's one thing we could bring to light, is how South Sudan government itself treats women, especially when you need to take maternity leave. It's really granted, and you get that. You get it with your pay. And not only that, for the first 1 year in which you are working, you only work half day. So you could go home and continue nursing your child. So those are positives that we need to also encourage and be happy with, that our government has taken that stand, you know, in helping women. Because also career and childhood, career and parenting are two things that have to go hand in hand. And at least for the government, they have taken that seriously and it's considered. So women don't have to worry so much about losing their jobs just because they have to go and have a family.
That was Cecilia Adeng, former head of mission at the United Arab Emirates, speaking earlier today to Ayen Bior in Washington. In Cameroon, civil society groups marked this year's International Women's Day by urging women to register to vote and take on large roles in decision-making in their communities. Muki Edwin Kinzeka has the story for VOA from Yaoundé.
Women should be given a chance to show their talent today in a society.
Gender activist and singer Gracia Fonyui uses her voice in Yaoundé to encourage women to stand up for their rights. Among those listening to her is 45-year-old Saliha Madiko, who has, for the first time, registered to vote. She says the most important thing women achieved during these activities ahead of International Women's Day is that they educated men to allow their wives and daughters to register to vote, in particular in the major Muslim parts of northern Cameroon, where she is from, and where she says men are accustomed to being dominant. She says she will continue to educate more men. In Cameroon, women are underrepresented on vote-up rolls and in decision-making circles, from village councils to parliament. Fonfobuzie Martin Asanji is the traditional ruler of Chomba village in northwestern Cameroon. He says it is important to encourage parents to not only send their sons to school.
The women should empower themselves, especially educationally, because you cannot be thinking of going to parliament or being a mayor when you are not educated.
A local NGO, More Women in Politics, has organized caravans nationwide over the past 3 months and held special events in regional centers for Women's Day.
Notre cible, c'est véritablement les jeunes filles et les femmes.
NGO President Justine Diffo says by targeting young women and girls, they intend to increase the number of women participating in elections in Cameroon to at least 60%. Despite making up 52% of the adult population in Cameroon, women account for less than half of registered voters, according to figures released last year by the elections management body ELECAM. About a third of National Assembly seats are held by women, and Cameroon has just 31 female mayors out of the total 370 in the country. Celestine Kecha-Coutes, mayor of Bangante in western Cameroon, says women need to use their numerical strength.
Il faut que les femmes acceptent d'accompagner les femmes.
She says women should promote other women by helping them register to vote. She says competition with men is stiff, but she says if women are united and have confidence in themselves, a woman with the will and qualifications can get elected. That numerical strength was on display Wednesday as tens of thousands of women marched in regional centers and the capital. The government pledged to support efforts to offer equal opportunity to women and girls. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé.
That's our show for this International Women's Day. We now take you to Senegal with the song Sema Nene by Senegalese musician Vivian Ndour. We've been listening to Vivian with the song Sema Nene. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for being here. Please join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.